I dreamed my life was done, and I stood before God's Son. It was time to see what my reward would be. With love he reviewed my life to count what was done for Christ. For that is what will last eternally. See, I've done my best to share that Jesus really cares, and he would save if they would just believe. Oh, but seldom did harvest come, and so few did I see. Turn around and see. Then he showed me the faces of the ones who come because of me. So many faces that my life had led to cast. Faithful to plow the field. At other times, you helped me plant the seed. No matter how small the task, you did just as I. Set free. Then he showed me the faces of the ones who come because of me. So many faces that my life had led to Calvary. All those
Thank you, Brother Ryan. Stand with me, if you would, please, as we have a word of prayer this morning, as we continue in an attitude of worship today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings in our life. We pray, dear God, that you would bless this ministry. Dear God, that you would have your will and way in the service today. Lord, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, dear God, that you would, the Holy Spirit would convict hearts, that souls would be saved. Lord, if there are any that are seeking a church home, Lord, that you would speak to their heart. Dear God, that we would have additions to the ministry today. We ask this in Jesus' sake, in his name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you and be seated. If you would please direct your attention this morning, if you would please, to the book of Romans, chapter number 12, beginning here in verse number 1. I want to speak to you this morning about God's favorite team. God's favorite team. No, it's not the Patriots. It's not the Atlanta Falcons. It's not the Lobos. It's not even my favorite, the Dallas Cowboys, who haven't had anything to rejoice about for far too long. But I want to speak to you this morning about God's favorite team. Who is God's favorite team? Well, if you'll look at the screen behind me, I think you'll have an idea. God's favorite team is his church. It is the church that is enduring, that has endured the test of time over these some 2,000 years nearly. It is the church of our Lord, not the mortar, not the drywall, not the chairs and the carpet, but it is the called out ecclesia. It is you, it is I, all of us who make up the local church. And so I want to speak to you from the scripture this morning, beginning in chapter number 12 of the book of Romans, about God's favorite team. And I want to look at some aspects that make up this team called the local church. It is the responsibility of the local church to win its community to Jesus Christ. But not only its community, but also the surrounding areas and really the uttermost parts of the earth. And God has a plan for that. 3 weeks from today, we'll take a brand new missions commitment that will take us into 2017. A brand new commitment of what can be done for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're hoping as we close out this year, and really just 3 Sundays from today, that we will have finished out the greatest mission year that this church has ever had. And it's within reach. I believe that God wants to do it. And I believe it'll happen as the Lord speaks to our hearts about what he wants us to do concerning finishing it out this year and then taking on a brand new commitment 3 weeks from today. God's favorite team, the church. Well, let's learn some things about this particular team. God's favorite team is a team, first of all, that is committed to his goal. Because after all, the church, local church is his. It's his. It's not mine. It's not yours. It is his. He is the initiator of it. He is the one who thought about it. He's the one who brought it into existence. And so it is his church this morning. And so the Apostle Paul, many times in his writings, would use sometimes sporting metaphors to open the minds of the believers to some of the realities of the things that the Lord was trying to teach. Now, we know that Paul wasn't talking about football, football didn't exist in the days of the Apostle Paul. But there were sporting events, and sometimes he would use different analogies. And so I want you to see here, as we look at God's favorite team, he says, I beseech you, who is that? That is the church. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, he's talking to believers, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the first thing that I want you to know about being a team member of God's local church, being involved in the greatest game of life, the greatest, you know, today we'll have a Super Bowl, and one team is going to win. And I'm going to tell you who it is right now. It is the winning team. It is the team who wins. That will be determined who is the winning team. But you know what? A couple of months from now, that'll all be forgotten. And we'll be looking forward, especially once preseason starts in August, we'll have forgotten all about today, and we will be looking forward to a brand new Super Bowl. Well, God's team is not like that. God's team and the effort that they put into it is forever and forever and forever and throughout eternity. And so it will be remembered from this day forward forever. And so the challenge here is, as we think about God's team, the church, he says that we present our bodies. Let me just break that down for you, and let me just tell you what that means. It means you got to show up. You present your body. Is that difficult to understand? I mean, you show up for practice. You know how many teams have ever won the Super Bowl by not practicing? Zero. Zip. Nada. Not a single team who doesn't practice ever goes to the Super Bowl or ever wins a Super Bowl ring. So the reality is this morning that God's team, God's favorite team, one of the first things that Paul says is that you present your bodies. You show up to practice. Where does the church practice? Right here. We are in practice right now. What are we practicing for? We are practicing to win our world to Jesus Christ. So in order to do that, we have to be ready. We have to be taught. We have to be informed. So we are to come together bodily as teammates to learn what it is to be a Christian. We are practicing today for what? To win people outside those doors. We don't win people to Jesus in here. We win them out there. But in order to do it, we need practice. And so that is why we're here on Sunday mornings. That's why we're here at Sunday school. That's why we're here on Sunday night. That's why we're here on Wednesday night, is to be part of the team, to go forth and to win our world to Jesus Christ. So if we are going to be a member or a part of God's favorite team, we need to show up to practice. Number two, notice what it says here in verse number two. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? The renewing of your mind. May I just say, Christian, get your mind in the game. Coach, have you ever had any players when you taught football, when you taught track, whose minds were not in the game? How productive were they? Not at all. Not at all. Some of you show up, you're here in body. Oh, please forgive me for this. But sometimes I wonder where your mind is. I'm glad I didn't hear that. So first of all, You need to be here bodily, and you need to have your mind engaged. You need to have your mind in the game, practicing the plays, being ready for the conflict, being ready to be engaged in Christian warfare. What is it? It is winning a lost world to Jesus Christ. So we need to show up. We need to practice. We need to have our minds engaged in the battle. So many times people come to church. I believe that church is some people's favorite place to sleep. We're fine during the music. We're singing, you know. We're having a good time. And the preacher gets up and says, open the Word of God. And it's the end of the service. Amen. Okay, I'm ready to go. Get your mind in the service of Almighty God. Be committed. Show up with your body. Keep it awake and alert. Get your mind involved in what you are doing. Get the plays down so that you know what to do. Number two, God's favorite team is a team that is considerate of all of His team members. Begin to read with me, if you would please, in Romans chapter 12, beginning to read in verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, he is using an illustration here. He is equating to our physical body, to the body of the local church. We have many members. We have eyes, we have ears, we have hands, we have feet, we have legs, we have internal organs. All these things, and some are seen and some are unseen. And we tend to, you know, really take good care of what's visible. But there are parts of our body that are not visible that we need to function properly. And the same is true in the church. There's some ministry, there's some aspects of the spiritual game that are very visible. And, you know, some people want to be involved in that. And that's fine, as long as that's where God wants you. But sometimes there's those hidden or not so visible ministries that the whole church does not see, but it's necessary to the function of the local church. For we, as many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Do you understand, folks, that in football, not every player on the field can be the quarterback? Do we understand that? Is that okay? You know, not everybody can be the quarterback. But at the same time, can the quarterback do it all? No, he can't. The quarterback cannot do everything. The quarterback has to have the other players on the team in order to be successful. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. Though we're many members, we make up the body or the church. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Do you know what this speaks to me? It tells me that I need you. Do you get that? I need you. You need me. And so as we together make up God's favorite team, we need to be considerate of the other members of the team. You know, Paul said it in another way elsewhere in the scripture. He says, you know, is one part of the body supposed to tell the other part of the body, you're not important, you're not necessary, you're not needed? Well, is that true? How many people in the body of Christ want to be a liver? Pretty disgusting. But let me ask you something. Let me ask it this way. Is the liver necessary to the function of the body? Yes, it is. We all need one another. And sometimes we'll say, oh, I don't want to go to church today. They don't need me. Oh, yes, we do. We encourage one another. Just by being here, we are an encouragement one to another. So we need to be considerate of one another. How many of you come from a family where there's more than two children? Let me see your hand. Oh, well, that's most of the crowd. That's most of the crowd. Those of you who came from families where there's at least more than two children, were there ever fusses? Were there ever fusses in the family? Were there ever issues? So what do? If a family member acts up, do we kill them? Do we bury them? We're not supposed to. Now, we might feel like it, but we're not supposed to. Amen? We are to love one another. We are to be considerate one of another. We're all different. We're all different. Wouldn't it be boring if everybody in the church was the same? We need variety. Someone said variety is the spice of life. I don't know if that's true or not, but I tell you what, I need you, and I hope you need me. So, God's favorite team, the church, is made up of people, number one, who are committed to his goal, number two, that are considerate of other members of the team. Go to the book of Philippians, if you would please, for just a moment. If you would, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 4. Notice what Paul writes to the church at Philippi. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Others. So you and I have a responsibility as God's favorite team to be considerate of one another, to be considerate of everybody on the team. Every player is important. Every player is vital. Every player needs to be committed, needs to show up for practice. Every player needs to be there, engaged in the conflict, so that God's favorite team can win the game. And the game is winning others to Jesus Christ. Number three, God's favorite team is a team that is conscious of their own responsibility. Let's begin to read in verse number 6 for just a moment. God's favorite team, the church, is a team that needs to be conscious of their own responsibility. Beginning to read in verse number 6. Having then the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, and that means preaching, let us prophesy or preach. according to the proportion of faith. Now, remember, I mentioned a moment ago, in football, not everybody can play quarterback. But everybody has a part to play that's on the team. He goes on to say, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. You say it is scriptural not to do anything. Paul just said it right there. That is not what he is saying. If you went to a restaurant this afternoon and the wait staff never showed up, how would you feel? You'd feel like they weren't doing their job. I mean, if they waited on everybody else, but they never helped you, how would that make you feel? See, the idea here is being involved, performing that particular ministry that God has called you to. Not everybody can be the quarterback, but everybody has a role to play. So he says there, or of ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or let us be involved in our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. He that teacheth on teaching. So if God has given us a ministry of teaching, we need to be involved in God's work, exercising or performing whatever that is. God is calling us to do that. He goes on to say, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Some people just have a natural way of exhorting others. If somebody exhorts you, is that encouraging to you? It is it not? Use that gift. You know, it seems to me that criticism is the easiest thing in the world to do. Well, I don't like the way he does his job. Well, maybe God does. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever consider that maybe God does? And everybody might not quite be our cup of tea. But the reality is, we need to be involved or wait on that ministry. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Now that challenge there is, that is not talking about tithing. Let's just get that settled right now. When you tithe, you are not giving. You say, what? When you tithe, you are not giving. Folks, tithing is a command. Let me let you in on a little secret. You don't give your tithe, you pay it. You know when you begin to give is when you do the minimum, which is tithing. You give the 10%. I would, and I want to say this as in a kind of way as I can. Some of you need a math lesson. A tithe is not 1%. A tithe is 10%. In other words, if you make a dollar, a tithe is 10 cents. If you make $1,000, a tithe is $100. And the person who gives the 10% on the dollar, the tenth, and the person who gives $100 of the thousand, they are equal. They have done the same in God's sight. Giving goes beyond the tithe. Giving is trusting God by faith. And the reality is that in any ministry, there are some who I would say that have the gift of giving. I mean, they tithe, they give to missions, and they go beyond that as God speaks to their heart. Now, not everybody has the capacity to do that. That's why it's a gift. But tithing is not giving. Tithing is just simply doing the minimum. Until we tithe, we never give anything to God. Tithing is like the, in a respect, it's like the gas bill or the electric bill that comes. It's what we owe God. You say, why do we owe God anything? Oh, I'll give you a couple of reasons. He gives you air to breathe. He clothes you. He provides for you. He gives you good health. He gives you your mind. See, all those things are gifts. And so we owe God a tithe. And by the way, it's not because he's broke. It's because we need the blessing. God's not going out of business. You'll never see God have a going out of business sale. It will never happen. God doesn't need our money. He needs our obedience. Do you see the difference? Tithing demonstrates our faith in God. And then we go beyond that, give to missions, give to special projects, those types of things. So I just wanted to get that in there just so you wouldn't misunderstand. Notice what it says concerning giving. Let him do it with simplicity. You know what the Bible says about that? Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Doesn't need to be a bunch of fanfare. Everybody doesn't need to know. You don't need to know who has the gift of giving. That's between them and God. That's personal. Do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So whatever your particular gift is this morning, we need to be conscious of it today. We need to fill that role as a member of the team. If we have a particular talent, we need to use it in the church. We need to be involved as part of the team that the Lord is putting together. Number four, God's favorite team is a team that is consistent in their effort. Consistent in their effort. Let's begin to read there in verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be consistent. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. It says there we are to, in verse number 12, we are to rejoice in hope. Paul didn't say rejoice in victory. Victory brings about its own rejoicing. Paul says rejoice in hope. Rejoice in the fact that there's a better day coming. Rejoice in the fact that things are not always going to be like they are right now. The sun will come up tomorrow. It'll be a brand new day. So we need to be consistent in our effort as we participate as team members together in the local church. What does it mean to be consistent? It means I don't change. It means my message doesn't change. It means that God doesn't change. He's the same today as He was yesterday, and He will be the same tomorrow. And He calls on us to be consistent in our ministry to others. Being consistent. So many people are good starters, but not good finishers. What about the time between that you start and the time that you finish? Is it 1 hour? Is it 1 day? I preached to this congregation now for 10 years. I've seen people that just, man, they get so excited about the Word of God. I mean, they just, woo, they are ready to go. They walk out that door, and by the time they get to their car, it's gone. It lasted but a moment. We, as children of the living God, need to be consistent in the role that we play. Consistent. Serving God together consistently. Now, that doesn't mean that God won't move you into a different position. And the reality is, if you'll be faithful in the position that God has placed you, you might get a promotion on His team. So we need to exercise our gift, our God-given gift, faithfully. Faithfully. God said in His Word that it is required of a steward that he be found what? Faithful. 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 That is our job in the ministry of God's greatest team, the church. Fifthly, we are to be content in our position. Content. Begin to read with me in verse number 13. Or verse number 14, excuse me. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit or your own proud notions. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How many times within God's team, children of God will say, I'm just not going to play anymore. I'm going to take my marbles and I'm going home. I don't like so-and-so in the church. Really? We can't be bigger than that. We honestly can't be bigger than that. You know what they do with football players? when they can't get along, they put them in a room alone until they can. They work it out. Maybe sometimes within the local ministry, we just need to work stuff out. Being content. Content. Being content means I don't need or want your position. Being content means that I do my job and I let you do yours. Being content means that I don't criticize you because you don't do it the way I think you should. Being content means that I keep my nose to the grind, I'll do the job, and I let the coach worry about all the other details. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can we be a part of God's favorite team, the church? Number one, be committed to His goal. Number two, be considerate of the entire team. Number three, be conscious of our own responsibility. Number four, be consistent in our effort as we win the lost. Number five, be content in the position where God has placed us within the local ministry. Would you please stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Nobody looking around this morning. As we have a word of God, a word of prayer this morning, my challenge is to you, are you involved in God's greatest game? The game of winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Folks, it's not all about us. It's all about Him. It's all about winning God's game, the church, winning the lost. Will you fill your position today? Will you show up? Will you suit up? And will you play your position that God has given you in the local ministry? Father, thank you, Lord, for your kindness in our life, your blessings to us. Dear God, I pray, Lord, that we would take to heart our job, our ministry within the local church. Lord, you established it. You want it to be successful. You want it to win. And one of these days we'll stand in your presence and we'll give an account. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to play our part, our position, not somebody else's, but ours. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake.